Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Do you know Vampire Weekend?
Ah, no.
Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings?
No.
Surfer Blood?
Nope.
She and Him?
I feel so embarrassed to say no, but it's not.
Do you know Vampire Weekend?
I've heard of them.
She and Him?
No.
Surfer Blood?
No.
And Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings?
I guess I'm out of it. Nope.
Do you know Vampire Weekend?
Vampire Weekend? No, I don't.
Sorry. She and Him?
I know. No.
Surfer Blood?
I know Blood, but no Surfer.
Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings?
Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, no. Are they big in the U.S., all these bands? Down on the corner that you walk each day in passing, the elderly sales clerk won't ask with suspicion, the whole of motor corporation's giving its permission.
Welcome back to Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and this band, Vampire Weekend, is very big in the U.S., to answer the question that was left hanging there a moment ago. Their album Contra debuted at number one on the Billboard chart this January, but when we sent our intern Julia Forlan downtown in Manhattan to see who had heard of the Brooklyn Quartet and a few other recent buzz bands, she got, as you just heard, more than a few blank stares and I don't knows. That lack of a unified music culture is one symptom of the way music has fragmented in the past decade. The rise of blogs and file sharing, the decline of major record labels, the DIY movement sparked by MySpace and YouTube has all given us access to more music than ever before. And as the Pack to the Gills Music Festival South by Southwest begins in Austin this week, we ask, is all that new music a good thing, or has it left listeners overwhelmed? It's the topic of this week's
Soundcheck Smackdown.
And joining us on the line are Stuart Berman. He's online editor of Toronto's iWeekly magazine. Stuart finds it all a bit overwhelming. But Chris Richards, the pop music critic for the Washington Post, likes the smorgasbord of music that's available. Stuart, let me begin with you. There are 1,900 acts at South by Southwest. Are there just too many bands?
I mean, I'm not calling for any kind of quota system and, you know, that limits the amount of bands that can form at any given time or who's allowed to release music. But, you know, this will be my 10th South by Southwest, and I remember, you know, going 10 years ago for the first time, and it seemed like, you know, bands only played one showcase, and they often got more mileage out of doing the one showcase rather than, you know, the 18 gigs in 4 days that seems to be the standard workflow right now. And, you know, I think back of like a band like the Yeah, who played one showcase at La Zona Rosa in 2002 and from that got, you know, a lot of national exposure. And it seems like in South by Southwest, sort of harder to gauge, you know, who's really the breakout bands and who's really benefiting from the festival. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love South by Southwest. It's amazing to see your record collection come to life around you for 5 days. But, you know, from a band's career standpoint, you know, for a lot of people, it's a long haul to make it to Austin, and I can understand the need to maximize your time there by playing as many shows as possible. But I wonder, you know, if from a career point of view, if the benefits are the same as they were, say, 10 years ago.
All right, Chris, joining us in the studios of the Washington Post, have things changed since the blogosphere became a major player?
I think absolutely things have changed. We're living in a totally different landscape, but I think it's a matter of perception of if it's too much or too little, the classic half-empty, half-full scenario. On one hand, you can say we live in an overpopulated, overcrowded popscape, and on the other hand, you can say we live in a world of infinite possibilities. And for me, personally, I refuse to believe that a world with more choice can possibly be a bad thing. You know, we would never look at a public library and say, this library has too many books. We would never look at our cable provider and say, there are too many channels. The satellite cable provider is giving me too many choices. I don't think it devalues the content and how we perceive it. There's just more choice.
All right, but
that's
now,
a beautiful thing.
Now, both of you are going to South by Southwest. There are 1,900 bands there. And as Stuart has pointed out, Chris, some of them do multiple showcases and stuff. How do you possibly navigate that many bands?
It's incredibly difficult. It'll only be my second time there, actually. So it sounds like Stuart has a lot more experience than I do. But you pick your targets, and you prepare to not sleep. And the other benefit of these bands playing multiple shows is if someone plays on Wednesday and, you know, your friends are excited about it, you read about it on Twitter, you can check it out on Thursday or maybe Friday or maybe three times on Friday. And that's kind of the beauty of how everyone is sort of connected through Twitter and through the internet right now. I think it kind of makes it a more dynamic experience. Stuart?
My advice is you follow the free beer, and that's sort of like, you know, that always helps. You know, you can spend hours, you know, planning out your schedule, but then when the time comes to it, you're like, there's like free margaritas across the street. Go! No, I mean, it is certainly useful for bands to play multiple showcases. If you miss the first show, you know you'll have other opportunities to see them. But on the flip side, you know, last year, Vivian Girls from Brooklyn played something like 19 shows in 4 days. And I happened to catch one of the later shows, like Saturday afternoon, and I think it was show number 17 for them. And, you know, they were clearly exhausted. And, you know, they just played a show on the bridge at like 4 a.m. the night before. So, you know, on the one hand, yes, it does allow more people to see you, but are they going to see you at your best? That's another question.
All right. The question that we're looking at is, you know, are there too many bands, not necessarily just at South by Southwest, but the other 51 weeks of the year? I mean, you know, 1,900 groups in Austin, Texas is merely, you know, a symptom of a very crowded popscape. And, you know, Chris, even though you like this sort of thing, you have written about, you know, at least one casualty of that very crowded popscape. The story of the band Waves is an interesting one. Can you kind of summarize that for us?
Yeah, that's correct. I had a story in the Post in September about Waves, a band from San Diego, basically who were thrown into indie blog superstardom immediately, and it really burned this guy out. And he was taking tons of flack in the comments sections of different blogs, and his career was kind of being damaged before he even got off the ground. I think that's one of the casualties of this new landscape that we're living in, this changing landscape that we're living in. But of course, I think it just makes artists' stories more dynamic. I think it's a really exciting time with all these changes and with the ability for us to connect with so much music and to be able to share it so quickly. I think it just puts artists on their toes and kind of puts us in a new realm. So, of course, there are going to be casualties, but Waves is still going.
They are still going. They've had a rather difficult time of it. Big high and then almost as big a low. Here's their music, the song No Hope Kids. The band is called Waves, spelled with two V's, by the way. No Hope Kids is the name of that song. A band that found themselves thrust into the blogosphere spotlight for both good and ill in the past year. And we're speaking about the glut of bands out there. Stuart Berman's with us from iWeekly, the Toronto arts magazine. Chris Richards joining us from the studios of the Washington Post. And we want to hear from you. Are there too many bands? When it comes to music available online, are you overwhelmed or overjoyed? You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page of our website. That's wnyc.org/soundcheck. And in our control room, producer Joel Meyer often moderates the comments page. Joel, what's happening so far?
John, no strong opinions yet, just a lot of perspective. Frank from the East Village started a blog in October called Concert Log. Frank writes, "All these bands seem to be pulling in fans and filling concert halls. I remember in decades past when there were fewer bands and half-empty concert halls. Let the overwhelming number of bands keep coming." And John from Brooklyn gives us some more perspective with this. "I was in a band that played South by Southwest in 1988, 89, and 91. Even way back then, I thought there were too many bands. By the way, we distributed cassettes to already loaded down A&R types. How antiquated. And Tom from Brooklyn might be playing the role of slightly offended musician today on the Soundcheck page. He writes, I think there are too many radio DJs.
Well, you know, the idea that there are too many bands. I mean, you could say the same thing about there are too many ball players, right? I mean, everybody who puts a mitt on their hand is going to grow up to play in the major leagues. And Stuart, is this part of the problem with a band like Waves getting too big too fast that they haven't had a chance to really kind of grow into what they're going to be?
Well, I think one aspect of this digital age is a lot of the development that would have happened out of sight in garages and basements is now, you know, happening in full public view. You know, a band puts four songs on their MySpace, and then before you know it, they have a booking agent booking them into, you know, national tours, and, you know, they haven't really had a chance to, you know, get their act together completely, and so people are judging them based on, you know, blog buzz and hype, and really, you know, those sort of factors didn't exist for, you know, emergent bands, you know, 20 years ago. So there's, you know, they're on a much harsher microscope, and their every fault is, you know, sort of blogged about. And, you know, when a band even gets a modicum of buzz, you know, people are all that more quick to strike them down.
Chris, you heard one of our listeners saying that, you know, he thought there were too many bands back in the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, you know, is this a new problem? Well, you don't see it as a problem, do you?
I don't see it as a problem. I think the music has always been there. I feel that we just have much faster ways of discovering it. I don't think, obviously, you know, the world is more populated than it was 20 years ago with more human beings making music. But I think, I mean, if you look at all, I mean, even look at all the reissues that are happening and all these tapes that are being dug up and put onto MP3 blogs now, I think tons of music has always been out there. It's just our access to it has increased exponentially. And that, to me, that's just a thrilling and exciting situation to be living in, really.
Now, you know, in terms of groups or artists who have gotten that initial bit of attention online through the blogs, et cetera, and gone on to great acclaim. I mean, I remember hearing MIA early on online. I mean, I don't think there was a record deal or anything like that. Is she kind of the poster child for what good can come of this situation?
I have it right on my list here. I would say MIA is, and Vampire Weekend as well from earlier in the program, two groups that I think really exploded onto the internet and have found their way into the Billboard charts.
That is MIA, who's become a big success story, started online, you know, the way that this whole DIY trend that we've been talking about that has made it possible for so many bands to get their music heard in ways that you couldn't just 10 or 20 years ago. And let's see what some of our Soundcheck listeners have to say. We've got a couple of different points of view from Jay here in New York and Josh, who's calling in from Baldwin. Jay, you like the idea of all these bands having access, right?
Oh, it's fantastic. How could there be too many bands? I mean, you plant a garden, the garden grows, the seeds take to the wind, and they just plant more gardens on their own. I mean, I could name five different bands. Have you ever heard of Sapphire, a kid band from Rockland County, or Red Molly, an Americana band from New York City? I mean, these people are awesome. I think South by Southwest is great. I mean, have you ever gone to a film festival and gotten your butt numb from sitting in the seat and watching 31 movies in 4 days? I mean, how could you possibly get enough?
Jay poses a good question. How could there be too many bands?
Well, he used the analogy of seeds and plants. Well, I would pose the analogy that maybe all those plants are weeds.
So a garden of weeds is how you're looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. There are some great hits from new kind of indie alternative bands, but I think that when I, you know, when I'm listening to an iPod and there's new bands on it, I think that a lot of them are not so great. and that.
Well, I'm going to agree with that. A lot of them are not so great, but I think we still need them.
And don't
I think that.
Josh, I mean, don't you at least feel like at least you've had a chance to hear those bands and make your own decision rather than, you know, take the word of someone whose blog you just read and never hear a note?
I mean, perhaps you're right. Choice is a good thing. Chris was making that point, and I would have to agree with that, but I'd like to have better choices.
Okay. Josh takes your garden analogy and sees a lot of this music as kind of weeds choking out the genuine flowers that are in there. Doesn't that concern you?
Well, I just want to add one little thing before I go. You know, not everyone likes stuff right away. I mean, let's take Moldy Peaches, for example. If you let the Moldy Peaches run on their own without being discovered, having Kimya Dawson's unique voice discovered in movies like Murder Ball or Juno, people would have thought, who are these punks from who God knows where? With songs like Who's Got the Crack and Downloading Porn with Devo, they never would have made it. But somehow the light was shined on them. People started liking them. I don't know. I listened to the Moldy Peaches in my car. I think that band was over before it started, and I think they were awesome.
All right, thanks, Jay. Let's check in with Joel Meyer once again in the control room and see what some of the comments on the website have to say. Joel?
John, Marcy's on one side of the argument. She writes, I've got a queue of about 5 albums I want to buy right now on iTunes. As someone who loves an eclectic variety of music, it's a candy store out there. But Thomas from Brooklyn is on the other side of the fence. He writes, after following music blogs in the early 2000s, I've actually quit reading blogs and have gone back to totally listening to what my friends recommend. And Jeremy's sort of somewhere in the middle. He writes, you need to find filters, podcasts, radio stations, friends, blogs. Once you have a few you can trust, you'll have an increased likelihood of finding stuff you like.
So he doesn't think there are too many radio DJs out there.
He doesn't. And I, for one, am pro-Jeremy.
Stuart, let me ask you a final question. I mean, it does seem overwhelming. There are so many bands. But what do we do about it? I mean, you can't put the genie back in a bottle. You can't ask people not to make music. What's the solution?
I think, like, the, you know, when people talk about, you know, music being devalued in this day and age because, you know, record companies are making less money, I think the other real effect of this digital age is that, you know, we're spending, you know, our time is sort of spread out over all these different new bands, and you're spending less time with, you know, your music. You know, before you would go buy a handful of records each week and really take the time and, you know, listen to them closely. Now, you know, you've got the stream of music spitting out of your computer 24/7, and this isn't a problem that's exclusive to professional music critics. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people can accumulate a lot of music very easily. I think we just need to take a little more time listening to the music that we select, and, you know, not feel the need to constantly be on top of, like, the new band of the moment, and just, you know, give everything a fair shake.
And Chris, I mean, you know, there is, it seems, an infinite amount of music out there. Just briefly, our attention is not infinite. What do we do?
I think I know this is SmackDown, but I kind of agree with Stuart there. I think there's so much competing for our attention out there. We really have to regulate it ourselves. I spoke with the bluegrass musician Ricky Skaggs about Twitter in the bluegrass community, which is just getting off the ground right now. But he told me, you're the keeper of your own eyes and ears. And that just quote really struck me. You know, you're essentially, your finger is on the on-off switch. You know, you can decide.
Well, the topic is, are there just too many bands? And whether there are or aren't, as Chris says, and Stuart agrees, you know, you're in control. And we've been talking with Stuart Berman, the online editor of iWeekly, the Toronto arts magazine, and Chris Richards, the pop music critic for The Washington Post. Lots of interesting comments. Go to the webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck, to read them. Stuart, Chris, thank you guys for being with us today.
Thanks, John.
Still to come, the vocalist known as Gaida was born in Germany, raised in Damascus, Syria, and lived in Kuwait, Paris, and Detroit before settling in New York. Gaida's latest itinerary includes a stop here with her band in our soundcheck studio. She'll play live next. Stay up all night, and I MC, I'll never die, cause death is the cause of the sleep, because I'm back with the bang, boogie, oogie, oogie, strawberry letter 23, like sugar. Oh my God, just look at me, grandpa, been rapping. Check out today's Soundcheck blog. There was a time when I really felt like I knew most of the major players in the rock world. I'd rather not say when that time was, but now, even though I listen to more music than ever before, I feel like there's no way to keep up.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.